Hello everyone, welcome to Airsoft and Chill. Today we're in a different location. We're in Brett's gaff.
My gaff.
Outlaw's gaff.
Yeah.
There is not a horse in sight. But we are joined also not only by me, Sketch, and Outlaw, we are joined by
Paladin.
And we got some funky new microphones as well.
We do. We've upped our game, ladies and gentlemen. On today's episode, we have a Noveski update.
Yes.
We also have a new pew-pew for Paladin. We also have a little debate whether it's better to go branded or non-branded on certain equipment, like scopes and other such various items, as well as the new, what is it, G&G?
Once something we missed from IWA by the sound of things, which was their talk of a drop-in replacement V2 gearbox to take your AEG to gas blowback.
It's impossible. I'd scoured every inch of that, I was about to say warehouse then, inch of that hall. I did not miss a beat on IWA.
Well, apparently you did.
Did you know I went to IWA?
I did.
we did at IWA.
Yeah, no, it was found as a result of G&G's own YouTube channel, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Scoured out and found it in there. But yes.
So that is today's episode. So let's get to it. Noveski update.
Well.
So, yes, mine has come back. We've not used it. However, in the midst of the repairs and quotations for the listeners, you've stumbled upon from Max's input.
I was about to say it wasn't me. Max, one of the guys that I sold one to, has obviously, he is one of these guys that goes down a rabbit hole with stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And has been on Reddit and online on all the MWS owners groups to try and find potential fixes for the problems that everyone was having before he got his gun so he could sort of preempt it.
He's throwing solutions into stuff that he hasn't even had problems with yet.
Exactly. So. And he has worked out, he just was informed that a piece of Velcro in the back of the magwell would sort it, and he ran his gun that weekend and it didn't falter.
I've never been so happy and yet so bitter.
Yeah.
At the same time. I've never wanted someone's gun to go down more, but also feel guilt if that did happen. It's something I kind of knew of anyway from obviously looking at the bolt bounce stuff where we've all looked and gone down our own little path, and like I got sent an image from Matt basically saying like you might need to put Velcro in the magwell and stuff like that. But we were just so focused on that buffer spring.
Yeah, and it turned out that wasn't the problem.
Well, it could well be still for mine.
Well, mine's still got the standard buffer spring in there, and has got, I think it's a 4mm puck in the bottom, a homemade puck, so like 210p's or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I put a bit of felt tape in the back of my magwell and mag dumped 40 mags through it, one after another. I went through two bottles of gas with zero failures. And very little. I mean, I sent you the video. There was no cool down at all on those.
Yeah, it was just quite funny because I was either dying ill, I think I was actually, must have had a nap, woke up, and the videos that you sent me, Cy had also sent me, with just excited sort of like remarks through WhatsApp, and I was just like, I don't know who to reply to first, like, something's happening.
Reply to the man in the video.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm too ill for this.
So a fairly cheap, fairly cost-effective fix.
Yeah. And,
but you still firmly believe that the MWS mags are the way to go over the original mags?
Yeah, 100%. As much as it pains me to say it. I mean, I sold one to a lad, was it 2 weeks ago, at Badlands? He bought it off the shop. Man. Yeah, I think it was. He took it out the box with the D mag and ran it, and it performed faultlessly, but I honestly think it's the temperature that affects those mags more than anything else.
Okay.
So, but I would still, if you plan on using it all year round, just go with an MWS mag.
And on the back of that, with the felts that you gifted me today, we put into my Noveski, with a TM mag, there's play in it, you can move it obviously front to back, and it wobbles like a little baby tooth. Put this felt in, my God, is it tight. There's no movement.
But not too tight that you can't get the mag in and out.
No.
It slides up in there.
Yeah, and it's far better. Far much more confident. And I've all my fingers crossed that it's just going to go and perform well.
Every time I go out in the garage now and I'm working on another gun, I'm just like, just stick a mag in this a minute and run through it. It's just faultless every time I use it now. But it has now shown me I have an issue with my hop rubber.
Okay.
Slightly inconsistent on the hop. Yes, I know, Pink Flamingo.
I just wanted to say it for the for the listeners.
Pink Flamingo.
Pink Flamingo.
I have 60 degrees.
I don't know where it is. I've got it in my pocket.
I swear to God, if you pull out a hot rubber
from the no.
Most people don't pull out normal rubbers, but Brett, on the other hand.
I've come prepared. Cash, but... did I pick it up? I don't think I did. I've got a
pocket full of buttons.
No.
Scatters them out.
No. I've got a puck that OG Carbon have started doing. I think they're 6mm pucks to go in the bottom of the mag tube. Not mag tube, gas tube. Nope. Buffer tube. Oh, it's been a long day. So I've been beta testing that. I'm taking it back out.
Between your coughing and Brett's noisy bird collection that seems to be now outside, I have a feeling we're probably serenading the listener with some bird calls in a minute as well.
Is the mic picking it up?
I doubt that. Listeners, if you can hear a bird,
yeah.
Tweet us at.
Oh, nice. Yeah, on Twitter, but yeah. Cool.
So, yeah, Noveski is a positive update from last week's negative, or the week before's negative update. So I think we're on to a winner.
I'm happy.
She's back at the top of everyone's Christmas list.
Yeah.
You've still got a lot of diehard MWS fans that are still calling it the Pervesky and stuff like that. And they, you know, don't get me wrong. D's QC on it, there's clearly an issue, but it still works with a £2 fix, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
it shouldn't have to be like that, but it is.
It is, it is.
Did TMs have that little recess in the mag well? You think that's what it is?
They do have it, it's just a QC difference.
It's just, yeah, do you think it's just a little bit of mill tolerance?
Yeah.
Because I've noticed the tans, I've never noticed anyone a problem with the tans.
No.
Saying that though, when you're looking at a Reddit thread, no one's really mentioning the colour. They're just saying it's gone down.
Yeah.
So I'm just presuming the tans work fine, but the black batch, because of everything we've had, we've all had the black one potentially gone down.
Yeah. So I wonder, do we know if Andy's kicking himself for selling this now?
I don't know.
He's not that cheap.
Don't know. I think he's happy. He's got the Yergi, so. It's
I still want to buy an Ergie.
Yeah, I get it's kind of the same. It's the M-Lock rail. It's still quite lightweight, isn't it? It's the same sort of.
I think that for me, the desperation to buy an MWS now, I know that mine's working, is gone.
Yeah.
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 Cool.
Good stuff.
Big Z.
Yeah. So that's the update on that.
We do have a rival. Option though.
I thought we were saving this to last, really teasing.
Oh, just to tease me, just to make me stare at the box.
You're not going to make him sit here and look at it for the whole pod.
Maybe we'll do it on next week's episode.
Yeah, maybe. Just pop this.
Maybe
back
it won't
in
be
the,
as a surprise.
Yeah.
pop this back in the workshop.
Go on then.
You might
right.
Yes.
Yes.
Just going to open this box up
for the listener at home. This is my first viewing. I've saved it for you. This is an unboxing video as much as anything else.
Say unboxing. Brett's unboxing it for you.
Unboxing it for you.
Yeah,
just right. Passing it over to you. I'm presenting it.
So this is the Lithgo Arms license, KWA.
This is classically KWA unremarkable boxing.
Yeah.
It's a box.
It's a box with
say.
Some styrofoam in it.
I mean... Don't really move around in there.
No, you know? No, it's pretty good.
It's pretty simplistic. I can't fault KWA.
Should we start with the mag?
Ooh, cool.
Yeah, they're quite nice.
I like that.
So sorry, this is the was it the F90?
The F90
Lithgo Arms F90.
Yeah.
So essentially an AUG, but modified or based upon the Lithgo Arms, which is Australian. It's whether Lithgo Arms themselves are Australian, but it's used in the Australian military, isn't it?
It is. They take you down under.
Good day.
Oh, I'm going to pop you with me F90.
But yeah, it's almost like an AUG evolved.
A modern.
Evo.
Yeah.
An Evo 8.
It's just a modern adaptation, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. But take a look at that mag. I like the finish of that. It is quite heavy.
Oh, that is quite nice, actually.
Mm.
F90 magazine.
So we've almost got like a matte finish to the top and then glossy base.
The only thing I have heard about these magazines is to be careful with the feed lips.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't bite it. Oh, my Lord.
That is actually quite cool. I do like that.
What's the issue with the feed lips? They're fragile?
Yeah, don't be too rough with them. I mean, I got my speed loader to load that up to test it.
Mm-hmm.
And the BBs feed in lovely. There's not like it is with an MWS. You've got to crunch them in there. They do go in quite nicely with the adapter.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would avoid dropping it on the feed lips.
So if you're going to drop it, make sure you drop it that way.
Just mag drop it down.
Yeah. Just don't drop it.
Just try not to. Just try.
That is actually quite smart. I do like that. It's a nice weight to it.
Mm.
I do feel though I can understand with the feed lips the matte finish. It's just making it feel a bit sort of brittle. I think that's the words I'm looking for.
Not as opposed to a polished finish.
Yeah. How does that change it?
Because I don't know. I think because with the matte finishing, it just feels like it's just.
You feel like it's plasticky.
It doesn't look as substantial and hard as an MWS set of feed lips, does it?
No, it just feels like, yeah. Do you know when like plastic gets old and you feel like you could crack that?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's been out in the sun for too many years. That's what that feels like. But I could be wrong. I'm sure it's quite tough. It's quite thin there, though.
Yeah. Yeah,
but I mean,
not to shit on your mags.
You're not exactly going to be sat there dumping them out. They're going onto the floor, are you? So.
I can't imagine this is going to get used much at all.
No, this will become. We'll get a little backpack for this, and this will become my staple.
Yeah, right. Well, it will fit in a backpack as well, mate.
Yeah,
if you take the upper off.
Yes. Yeah, because this.
That whole upper comes off and you're left with just this piece here
cell.
By pushing that. I'll show you in a minute.
You're in a better position to lift it
if
out
you
without...
Lift it from this end.
You could lift go that out.
She is lovely.
It's a really nice polymer.
It's got a real nice feel to it, actually, isn't it?
Does everyone ever actually read these operators' manuals?
Nope.
Like, if you do genuinely read these, please message us on Instagram and just say, yes, I do. And we'll know exactly what you're on
about.
Give
it a slap when it goes in. There you go.
Ooh, that's actually quite satisfying because that's obviously metal on metal. But...
I don't think there's any BBs in there, but don't shoot you.
No, don't shoot the laptop.
Yeah. Should we put this down a second so that we can
get more consistent? Box, 6 out of 10.
Yeah, really? The box is typically... underwhelming from KWA, but that, I don't know, surely this is going to sell you on having this instead of...
Oh, that is quite nice, actually.
I like the feel of a ball pop, I've got to admit. And you can see the exposed barrel all the way back.
Yeah.
Oh, it's quite... feeding through.
You've got a nice reach there, nice foregrip, I reckon.
Yep, a lot of people are running those little stubby, stubby slightly canted...
It's quite snug.
Mm-hmm.
What's that? Is that the mag release?
That'll be the bolt release, I think.
And then mag release is up under here. Look.
Yeah.
Oh, underneath there. I'm not going to drop it.
It's going to take a bit of getting used to.
Oh, that is quite nice. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
It's just. Oh, even without a grip,
the
vestibule just...
is dead to you.
No, it's not dead to me, but. Oh.
So, how do we.
Press the little knob.
Oh.
It's fiddly. It is.
Oh. Oh, I see.
Ooh. And then we have to bolt release? Or?
Yeah. There might be gas in.
Yeah.
Sorry, for the listeners, we are just playing, so there's a bit of silence.
So if we safety that.
So could you... That's at the bottom, it is only going to wreck on one side, isn't it?
Yes,
yeah. Yeah, it looks like a...
But I like the fact that it tucks away.
Yeah.
And the other little thing to point out is your your little arm down here, which, oh, that's fiddly as hell.
Want to lock it to semi.
You lock it and it stops your progressive trigger coming back further.
Yeah, that threw me when I took it out of the box. Because I ran it through a chrono and I put single shots through. I was like, where's the selector? And then I fired it again, it went full auto. And I was like, what on earth is...
Did I say it like that?
You can leave it out.
How did you push that up then? You didn't push the button, did you?
Ever so slightly. It's not as much as you think it needs. Don't shoot it at his living room.
I won't shoot it.
You could drop the mag and just hear it click, but...
Safety's on.
Ooh.
It's not actually that's a nice that bad, trigger. Considering that's a bar set trigger.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad.
In your testing so far, have you found if you don't have the little limiter on the trigger, is it? A lot of people are saying it's very easy to pull back too far and automatically go into. Yes.
Very much so.
So there's not a lot of travel between.
No.
Right.
If you tap the trigger, it's not too bad. If you give it a decent pull, it will just go straight to.
So that literally that little nub there
comes down and
is the difference between fun switch and unfun switch.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I do like this. That is cool. It's just quite simple, isn't it?
So we've got swing point up there. We've got swing point in the rear. Can we get shorter barrels for this, or does that twist on?
No.
Is that one long barrel?
Your inner barrel actually finishes about here.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a shorter inner barrel to keep the FPS down.
What is she chronoing at the moment?
I set the hop on that with 2.8s in it, and it was 1.03 joules. So, not bad.
Hmm.
Now, am I right in thinking when we first looked at this the KWA that isn't the a Lifco variant in Australia that they do use as an airsoft one for training purposes?
This is the one.
Is it still KWA though?
Yes.
So it is still KWA.
Yeah. Yeah. KWA partnered with Lifco so that the Australian is it Australia?
Yeah,
it's the Australian military and police can use these as training.
Yeah,
I believe those are somewhat hotter than ours.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I would suggest...
Jules down under.
The only thing I would suggest is change the hot rubber out on it.
Why is it just really just standard stock hot rubber?
It is a normal KWA, and they call them like two-piece hot rubbers. It's got the recess there so you can put the launcher in it.
We could have a grenade launcher, and that feeds through and gives you your trigger
on the inside of your.
Yes, I remember now. Yeah, trigger I remember. On the inside.
Yeah, the hot rubber that's in there is a what they call like the fang hot rubber, so or a split hot rubber. So instead of it being one flat contact patch, it's got a V in the middle of it. So when you put it down, it kind of V's like that, and the BB touches it, and they're not very consistent. So, but I think there's just a couple of bolts to change the hot rubber and to take it all apart, but I didn't want to. It was new, so I didn't want to just pull it apart.
Yeah.
But yeah, you'll probably want to change that.
It's a nice feeling butt pad as well.
No, you can get that's how you get your trigger group out as well from the back.
All right, so it essentially,
you go from the rear.
The takedown is exactly like a
real one.
So how do we right. push through from this side?
No,
or?
Right. You want to cock it, pull the bolt back, and lock it.
It's a bit stiff, isn't it?
She is a bit stiff.
Now, push it up. That's it. Right. Then push that this way towards me. Okay, so that's as far. And then that.
Oh, so it retains?
That whole upper should slide forward. Like so.
Right, just feeds off of these. Oh, these arms come out as well, do they?
It's your arm and your bolt assembly all comes out in one. Okay. It will pull off of that, but
so this will transport as is.
As is.
And then to get to the trigger, you then go through the rear, you say.
Oh, interesting.
cool, isn't it?
That is cool. So the trigger grouping comes out the rear.
Yes. There's a certain way that you... I can't remember exactly what it is, but you kind of, you've got to push this in, pull the trigger, pull it out, and it, I'll send you the video that I watched about it, and then that, when that pulls out, this comes off, and all your trigger grip just slides straight out of the back.
We have a rotary hop.
Ooh.
Which is
something like.
Which is nice in comparison to having to use an Allen key.
Yeah. Inside.
Yes, it's a bit fiddly to adjust on the fly, but it is doable.
Yeah, but
kind of got to get your fingers in.
You've got to take the upper off.
Essentially, you've got to get your finger in through this bit here to do it. But it is doable.
It is doable inside. Oh, so we don't have to tear down.
No.
I suppose with a small
that's not a massive tear down, is it?
No, that was quite simple, to be honest.
It's quite smart, isn't it?
So obviously, do we want these properly maintained? If you were maintaining it,
I would put a very light grease on those.
On the arms, yeah.
On the arms. Silicone spray up into the nozzle. Just a general... Because it's so easy to strip down. Just every game day after you've used it, just take it apart, check it. Make sure nothing's running dry.
What actually are these silver arms here?
They're the guide arms for the bolt.
Oh, okay. And this will be much like the original. Mm-hmm. Or the real, sorry, not the original.
So basically, when you fire it,
yeah,
the bolt slides back.
And then it's got to go forward again. Go forward again. I'm with you.
It's cool.
The silence, I think, is speaking for itself. We're all, well, me and Paul, very, very intrigued. Paul more so than me.
I'm just seeing how they run the trigger back.
Yeah. Pulling all of Brett's cubes out of it, for you.
Yes.
I mean, for what it is as well, like, if take the airsoft sense out of this, and you've now got this as a training weapon for the Australian police and army, I think it's quite cool.
Like,
you'll pick up everything that you need to do. You can obviously field strip it, run for everything, obviously take all this stuff off, like your out of barrel and things like that, and then really work on it, work for your mags.
So you said the outer barrel, I mean, it looks like we've got little...
Yeah, I think to get to the hop unit, see that retention there? Like, if you slide that back out, like so, this big steel nut here, I'm pretty sure if you undo that, that then pulls out and you're in a barrel and everything comes out with it.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously your hop rubber is like just there. So I'm pretty sure it all just kind of slides out. It looks like it comes out backwards because you've got two lugs there.
Mm-hmm.
So once that's undone, you should be able to pull that out.
Slide that out.
But there's no videos online.
How long have they been out?
Not massive amount of time. Yeah, last year they released it?
No, it was announced last year.
It was announced last year. I think it's only been out for less than 3 months or so.
I think a few people got it in January, but I think that was BZ's promo, wasn't it?
Yeah, a lot of promo pictures came out, people using it and that kind of thing.
So I'm going to presume them hitting customers February, March.
Something like that, yeah.
So... Yeah, not long at all. A couple of months.
But it is a really nice looking...
Could you be the first person to do a strip-down video?
Possibly.
And then do a strip-down video on the gun.
But I like the fact that it comes apart so easily and goes back together so easily.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. Like the
straight in.
As a training weapon, and then what it's intended for.
There you go. That's kind of... So it comes back and you can...
Ah.
You can slap it right in HK.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that's going to bug me, that would bug me with it.
You'd have to find what's retaining that in place so well. There's going to be a knack to it.
There is going to be a knack to it. But the fact that you can lock it back and just...
And then that just flips back
into
there.
It comes back up.
Yeah. Oh, that's literally... Oh.
So with it's a little foregrip... on the front, and a really nice, actually that, I tell you what, something along the lines of that Vector Optics you've got in your garage.
Or a black one.
A black one.
Yeah.
Would probably look really, really nice on that. That sort of recon scope kind
low
of.
Low power variable.
Yeah.
What would you go for, like, how big would you go for your foregrip? Just a small little...
You get those little, a lot of people cut them off, don't they, even smaller, but you just want something just to keep your hand forward at the front. I mean,
a little hand stop.
Mm. Mm.
PTS do a little curvature Ooh. Hand stop. I got one of my Nevesky.
I like
even,
it.
Even
I think the build quality says it all. Oh, and this is the other bit as well. You can pop that out and stick around this side if you so wish to change your injection. If you're a lefty.
That's what I thought, because there's a ball pump, I thought you might be able to swap the bolt round, but it's not like a D36 or anything.
No. You've got a rail on the other side as well for things like boxes, torches, anything
Ooh,
like
what
that.
What torch? Would you do a torch?
I don't know, it depends. I mean, I like the idea, if it was entirely possible, of having another upper. Because
I think that's going to be in the pipeline,
because
to be honest.
Ultimately, if you had another upper with another barrel in it, you could run a short. You could just run a short version, because like Brett said, the barrel's actually finishing about here.
Yeah.
The inner barrel. So you could have a little short, everyday CQB version, a la, you know, I had a TM high cycle org that sort of finished just about there. And then you could run a proper, longer barrel, which would naturally up the FPS anyway.
Yeah, you'd probably get it up. I would imagine like 1.5 joules around that level.
Yeah, and then you'd have a smart little interchangeable, real quick interchangeable, just by changing the upper like that.
The only issue you'd run into is I don't think there's any, other than the latch on the trigger, I don't think there is any other way of locking that to semi-auto.
Mm-hmm.
Which a lot of sites, if they knew the gun and knew that could be flicked back up.
Yes, yeah.
That I think you would run into an issue there.
Mm.
But even still, like,
if we cut that bit out of the pod, no one's going to be aware of it. I like it. I like the way it's built. I like the polymer. That's the only bit I'm not a fan of. Just trying to get that back down.
There's going to be a knack to that. There's something we're not doing or we're ignorant of.
I don't know if you've just got to push it.
Yeah, whether
and
we,
then
whether we
release
push it.
It
and yeah.
What I think you need to do
click and then,
is if you go do basic in the Australian Army, you'll be able to figure that out within 6 months. The only downside is you're now living in Australia and there's spiders
and things that want to poison me.
Yeah, it's a land not
other
for
than your local McDonald's.
Yeah, but at least with your org, you'll be able to hunt the spiders down.
Quite smart that it's got a flat base and
it stands up on its own.
I don't trust it particularly, but it sits on its own.
There's loads of potential you could do with this, and it's gas.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got 4 mags with it as well, which is handy.
Yep.
I've got you the extra mags. So.
Mm-hmm.
Mags come in quite nice packaging, don't they?
They come in better packaging than the box the play.
Yeah.
Gun comes in. But I do, you know, plus points for me over the other gas blowbacks I've experienced is that rotary hop. Being able to set that, you know, more traditionally on the fly than I've seen with other things. Because your Nevesque has to be altered.
You've got to bloody pop the top up and off.
I might have told you a little white lie here, mate.
You can't access it.
I think you've got to pop that out.
Yeah, to get
move
that.
Move it forward, but you only have to move it forward a touch, and then your hop is there.
Yeah.
So you can adjust the hop.
But even still,
that's not
to pull the bloody top.
Yeah, it's not half a tear down to adjust it on the go.
It is cool.
I didn't think I was going to like it, but I do like it.
I think all tarted up with some nice accessories. And that'll be a really nice looking bit of kit.
I don't think you can go wrong with either scope options either. I think you could probably put everything on there and it will suit it.
What, in terms of a little red dot or a...
Red dot, you can go EarTech with a magnifier, UH1.
Little recon scope or something like that. Or you know, powered optic with a... You found out how to do it now.
How'd you do it?
Pull it back. So,
So you don't need the button.
You don't need to press
the
button.
The button is luring us in. What's the button for then?
Looks pretty, doesn't it? But yeah, you just pop it back.
You almost went for a BB.
Almost. I'm in my own house. Surely I can swear at my own house.
No, Brett.
I like it. I like it. Now I work that out.
I want to see the. I want to see the grenade launcher next.
I don't think they've released that yet, have they?
No. That would be cool. That would be a nice addition.
I am looking forward to us getting together and doing a video on this.
Mm-hmm.
For your channel and for my channel. We can do a proper strip down of it. And
yeah, absolutely.
And actually field test it.
This just screams pool.
It does.
Right, so you just pulled it back. Oh, yeah, it's got it, I think.
It needs a bit of greasing up in there, doesn't it?
You just wanted to do that, didn't you?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do. It's a nice trigger, though. It feels sturdy.
Considering
it's thick.
Considering it runs on a bar like most ball pups do, I think it's a very good trigger. Jaeger Precision. James did a video on it. And he was pretty impressed with it, to be honest.
So there's the break for that. And then presumably...
Just past that break.
She just flicks into full order.
Yeah.
Danger game.
You'll get used to it.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I don't tend to full auto anything.
No.
I don't
like. We're not children.
Well.
Unless there is children, and then you full auto. No, we don't really.
I do.
So you can only access that switch from the left hand side as well, can't you? But it's not difficult to pull down with a nail, but
if you've got your glove on.
Yeah, if you get your glove on,
you slightly knock it. That's
when it arrived the other day, Emma was in her office working, and she come in, and I was like looking at it, and I was really excited. I was like, Emma, look at this, and she was like, it just looks like all of your other airsoft guns. I was like, no, it does not.
Do you remember, whenever I see an AUG, because they were prevalent in the original Die Hard, weren't they?
Yeah.
An AUG, you had the MP5, and stuff like that. It feels like a sort of pseudo bad guy gun.
It does, yeah. Except you're Australian now.
It doesn't fit in with that Austrian.
I like the fact that they're all serial. They've got all individual serial numbers as well.
What?
Up on the barrel. Every single one of them has got individual serial numbers.
Oh, sweet.
What area they're in?
Yeah, UK. You are F23. E00
and E14ABJ. I'm going to put that serial number on RJ's gun the next time he comes in.
Sorry for the cough, you have to mute that bit. I tell you what, I would like to see that in tan and black.
I don't know if they do a tan version.
Not as far as I'm aware.
I've seen.
The only one that they had listed was that one.
It's purely Batman, does it come in?
Yes. What do the Israeli army use? Because they use something similar, don't they? It's a ball pup. It's a bit similar to that. Is it the FM 2000 or whatever?
You're not talking about the... It's with T, isn't it?
Oh, God, I can't remember. It just looks a bit similar to that. But then it's just a ball pup, isn't it? So it's just tarnishing ball pups looking alike. Not all ball pups look the same.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I can't think of the... I want to say something obscure, like a TARV.
Yeah, I don't think they're using it now, but they were, weren't they, before everything that kicked off? I think they're using M4 cell platforms, aren't they?
But didn't Ares make that?
I thought you meant the Israeli army.
yeah, for the Israeli army. No wonder they're suing so badly.
It wasn't the FN2000, was it?
It wasn't the FN2000. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
So the really good thing about these individual mics, when you drop something on the table now, it doesn't pick it up.
It doesn't bang. And...
Sorry, listeners, we're just testing. But really yeah. Is.
No, I'm really impressed with that.
The polymer feels good. I mean,
maybe a different flash either. I'm not super keen on
it. Yeah.
Slightly smaller, maybe. But yeah, I think, you know, the barrel, if you could have interchangeable barrels, would be a real selling point for me. I'm sort of tempted to go for like a real obscure sort of candid sight on it as well.
Yeah.
So you know what I would like to see, and I think I do believe James Yeager is going to do it with his one, is he's going to shorten this out of barrel and rethread it back to this point here. So you can then put a suppressor on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the choice then of you can run a longer in a barrel and hide it in the suppressor, or you can keep it shorter and just have the suppressor there to kind of not work because it's gas blowback. But I think that with a big chunky suppressor, the right shaped suppressor on there would look.
You're going to lose your serial number.
Yeah, you'll lose your serial number. But I think that with the right suppressor on it would look pretty badass.
Mm.
Even if it was just that long. So you're losing that 2 inches at the end. I think this is one of those times where we could afford to lose 2 inches.
I think, you know, accessories will make or break it. But again, is it good looking?
Does it come with iron sights?
No.
I don't think you could really, whatever you put on this will make this look terrible. I think it's quite a good.
I think the thing with it is, I think it just looks odd with this long out barrel sticking out. But in the grand scheme of things, when you've got it shouldered, it's compact like a CQB gun.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I don't because think it looks out of place. Part. Yeah, I think it will.
I mean, I don't know the actual statistics, but we're not talking a short barrel anyway, are we?
No.
Once you run through there.
What do you think? You got a normal M4, your trigger unit's here, your receiver finishes here, and your barrel's out here. So you're what, 6 inches minimum shorter than a 10-inch M4?
Yeah. It's a shame you're on the Vesky's in the box, but it's side by side. But we can take some pictures later on.
I think it's got a nice weight to it. And I don't normally like long out of barrels. This is why I don't like the CQBs and things like that, like the M4s with the long out of barrels. Mm-hmm. But I just think that the whole combination just slaps. I think it all suits it. If I got one, I wouldn't shorten it. I'd leave it as is.
I think
I'd go longer inner, but
I tell you what, I've seen it with or the actual real Visco with this sort of length barrel on it with the grenade launcher, and the grenade launcher is quite a prominent piece that sort of like finishes roughly where the flash hider starts and that kind of thing. Anyway, I think that would change the look of it.
Mm-hmm.
And probably make that feel like it makes more sense.
Yeah. Again, my view, I think it looks fine. It suits it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's quite a beautiful looking gun.
It is a very, very nice looking
gun. Yeah. And again, I just don't think you can really cock this up with whatever you put on it. I think it will just take out everything and it will look good.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of pec boxes and stuff like that, you could run the old PEQ-16 style and it would still look good on it, or you go for one of the new ones. And
any foregrip will look absolutely fine on it.
Except maybe the ones with the deployable bipods.
Alright, yeah. But then I suppose if you've got the deployable bipod and you've got the long outer, might suit it. Just prop it up on a...
No.
It will suit it, trust me.
But yeah, big optics, small optics, a little red dot, even iron sights. If you've got a really nice set,
you think a 416 one?
Well, like a HK tumbler thing at the back, or I was actually thinking more the chunky MP7s.
Ah, I know.
You know, the posts. Yeah, because you can fold them down and they still.
Or like the Mark AD rear, because that's a post. You can flip that up.
Mm-hmm. I think you could get away with little irons on that and it would function still really, really nicely.
Again, going back to my very contradictive, I hate tan guns, but I love tan guns. I think that would look really good, black and tan.
What bit's black and what bit? What? Just
the full body tan, black rails, and black outer. I think it would look good. Weirdly, I don't know why Australia hasn't gone tan.
You've got a fair bit of sand out there, haven't
they? Yeah, just a little bit. And then with everyone going with tan guns, because obviously it breaks silhouette, it strikes me a bit sort of baffling that they've set to a black gun.
Hmm.
Unless they just paint them. Would you paint it?
No.
Okay.
Just no. I might put some scrim there.
So that's kind of tan faded into black.
Yeah.
That's quite cool.
God damn it.
It works.
Looking at that picture, that doesn't work.
That doesn't work. No. So it needs to be the other way around.
Yeah. So So
I think you'd need to send it off to first Cerakote.
So that first picture you showed, that's
the lower is
the lower's almost done like a dusty, like it's been painted and then rubbed away.
Yeah. It kind of fades up into it.
Yeah.
Into black and then goes back to tan at the front end there.
Yeah.
So basically a well battle worn.
Yeah.
So if you were to lightly dust it with tan and then sand 60% of that tan away.
60% of the time.
It works every time.
Yeah, I think you're right in the way that you would do it. And have to stop. If you were just going to go straight black and tan, all your plastics would have to be tan. And then your metalwork, black.
Yeah, leave your metalwork black.
Well, so basically, disassemble it.
Slide all your metal out.
Slide all the upper out.
I'd keep that black. You bolt, man.
Basically, like that, but in tan.
I'm just going to throw a curveball out there. Sorry, just this could be another topic for another thing.
You like the grey now?
What? Yeah,
Arctic,
sort of.
Arctic version?
It's certain grey guns are starting to appeal, and I don't know if this is now a trend starting to hit, but there seems to be a bit more. I noticed at IWA a few gunmetal grey guns sneaking through.
And then you've seen the grey VMP2.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, they did a VMP1 in the grey.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. And then Daniel Defense does a grey Mark 18. There was that little. It was on the Double Eagle stand. They do. I don't think it was Double Eagle, but they do those little 9mm AK looking things, and they did them in grey. I think I sent that through. But anyway, yeah. Sorry, go back to this. We're digressing.
I've got to admit, I don't particularly like the cleanness of just the lower and then the upper being two different colours. I like the worn look.
So you on your worn points, you start to get the black back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that working.
And it's dusty and it looks like it's seen some things.
Yeah.
What
about OD?
That could work. Do you know what? I'd be half tempted with. Do you know what I did with my FAMAS? And then you scrim net wrap sections of it.
Yeah.
So whether you did, you've got, you could put a nice variable optic on top and then scrim net around some of it.
Yeah.
Down to the front and have a nice suppressor on the front or something.
Because then when you're out in the field, you can start putting twigs and branches and leaves. Ooh. Yeah. The ghillie gun.
Yeah, OD. Maybe.
Just where it's all worn away. OD and tan's worn off. Or.
What's the Australian camo?
Like everything. I think Australia and NATO. They did used to have Auscam, which was like, it looks a bit sort of reminiscent of first marine camo or duck camo. And now I believe that it's a multi-cam, like every other NATO country is going to.
Right.
They have their own variant of a multi-cam. So prior to that, I sent you, in fact, it looks very, very similar to, I think I sent a picture. So it looks very similar to that on my new Yeti hat that I bought. But I sent you a picture of a boonie, or I sent you a link to a boonie in the chat saying what you should get. I don't think I've got any save. But yeah, it's like light oranges and greens for Auscam. They also do a desert Auscam, which is the same pattern, but light tans, dark tans and browns. But it's that sort of duck camo style blotches.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, I don't want to do that.
No, because there's sort of like that. It's not quite orange. It's kind of like, do you know, in down the outback, that reddish tan dust they do.
Yes.
Is that like on? They've matched that to some of the colorings of it on that older camo, but it got faded out, I think, in 2016.
I potentially like the tan or the OD.
Yeah.
Worn look.
Yeah.
Worn look.
Easily achievable, isn't it? Meet in the middle, go coyote. Dark, isn't it?
Might look better worn as well.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll spray it straight away.
No.
I think we'll leave as is.
Unless you get two.
Why would I want two?
Don't know.
Okay.
so Kai can use one.
Well, I take two olds into the shower.
Yeah. and then, yeah, have a tan, a black, or a green.
Now I look at that, though, it's ever so slightly odd that we've got this gloss finish.
Yeah, a matte finish probably would have looked nicer, but...
I mean... Because the real the real mags, are they a clear polymer to show the round through or anything like that?
If that's the only negative we can find on it,
yeah,
so far,
the gloss finish of the mag, it doesn't really
that and the hot hot rubber for me are the only two things that I look at and think, ugh, really.
Well, we solved the charging angle,
yeah,
just by piddling around with it. Yeah. Everyone saw that this is a bit awful. It has now been solved.
Yeah, I mean KWA hot rubbers are, I mean, I think it's pretty notorious, isn't it?
Yeah,
they aren't the best.
Every single bog standard KWA that I have come into me, the first thing I change out is the hot rubber on it because they're just terrible. They're great for like 2s and 2.5s if you're not really that fussed on lifting anything particularly heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But for consistency on anything over 2.5s, just change them out. Or just change them out on any. If you're buying a brand new KWA, just change the hot rubber out on it. For the sake of £25 to have a tech change it out, just change it.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, but other than that, 2 times fresh.
I'm too young.
Get away.
I like it a lot.
I'm definitely a 10 out of 10 for me. I would consider
I've asked you already, and I know your answer, but Nevesky beta?
I have not seen it perform. But it obviously can't perform mine.
Yours is broken. Now, I think what you said to me on the chat is probably absolutely right, isn't it? That
for me, it, as good as that gun is, there are far more aftermarket parts and upgrade parts available for the MWS platform than there is for that at the moment. For me, because I go chasing performance out of stuff, the MWS platform or the Nevesque, whether it be the Nevesque or the TM, is a better platform for what I want.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, with that, with a new hot rubber in there, I don't think it's going to perform poorly. I don't think it's quite as snappy when you shoot it. It seems a little more sluggish, but I think because of the action and the fact that it's basically dry in there, I give it a quick squirt with some silicone oil just to make sure it did have some lubrication.
Mm-hmm.
But that was by no means making sure everything was greased up properly. And when it wears in a little bit as well, you'll probably find it will loosen up a bit.
But again, because it's not as punchy, is that just because it's effectively it is a training weapon? It's not really designed, is it, to skirmish? I know, obviously, KWA. I think
you've got a lot more moving mass with that than you have on a normal M4-based bolt. Because you're moving these rods every time you...
Yeah, true.
You know?
I don't know, I just, in my mind, I see that, yeah, KWA, they partnered and they brought that over. But obviously there's a mass production value of, it's not a toy, effectively, is it?
Yeah. There isn't the impulse, the recoil impulse you get with an MWS.
Yeah.
It's a bit softer to shoot.
Ah, okay.
But it still shoots nicely.
And what are these retailing at from?
Oh, God. I can't actually remember. Is it like 550? I think it was. Hang on, I'll double check. I will double check.
Just double checking everyone. Talk amongst yourselves.
We'll put some elevator music in.
So, do you like weather?
How did we not figure that out? It's just a slight pullback.
I don't know. I mean, I'm an idiot, so it would have taken me years to figure this out.
They're 500. £500.
Oh, exactly £500.
Exactly £500.
Yeah. I don't think you could go wrong with this, to be honest.
Okay, so we are talking MW. Well,
it is the cheapest MWS out there is £455 for a CQB.
Mm. So we are talking similar MWS money, but probably not with the necessarily out of the box performance.
Mm.
Yeah,
I'd say that's about right. You know, would you say in terms of quality control, fit and finish, though, it's...
Oh, yeah, build quality seems great. Mm.
How much are the mags?
Oh, we're checking again.
Because so, I did you a good price on it.
You did. So you
I
did.
Can't even remember.
Good price. Good price.
With a good price.
Coming as the bag. For you, my friend, only two camel. I'm genuinely really impressed with it. I'm a bit stunned on what else to say.
I think they're about 60 quid a mag.
I suppose it's not too bad.
Yeah. I mean, Dave's custom airsoft are charging 65. So, yeah, I'd say about 60 quid a mag because it's always a little bit more expensive than everyone else. Isn't it?
Yeah,
we're not talking insane money.
No.
By any stretch of the imagination. For a gun that's probably going to be a bit less seen, a bit less visible compared to its counterpart.
They're MWS money, aren't they? That's the long and short of it.
Mm.
We just need to test it. And is this a good alternative to MWS? I mean, KWA.
Need to run it for a bit. Yeah. I think. Mm. Definitely need to run it. But I would definitely say to change the whole thing around.
In terms of looks, though, I much prefer it too.
It's different.
Yeah.
No one's really going to have one. Everyone's got M4s in their own case.
Mm.
So you are going to be unique.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Cool.
Lovely.
10 out of 10 for me.
I'm sold. It's mine anyway. So well, you've it's going to be 10 out of 10. Yeah. I'm not going to understand it. So no, I'm really impressed. Really impressed with it.
So
And you know, it goes nicely with the fact that I've got the KWA Vector.
Yes.
Stuff like that as well. It's another little nice addition to the collection.
To segue into the next topic then, you've now bought this,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to be looking for parts or extra bits to go on top of it, side of it, wherever you want to put them.
Accessories. Yes. Okay.
Now, would you go for branded accessorize, or would you go for the bog standards, branded but not branded by the real brands of Ali? So,
me personally now,
just in general, so anything that you've ever got in the past or future or present,
you're aware I had genuine Vortex gear off of him all that long ago, so that kind of answers some of that question.
I know, but it's just like, would you?
But then again, you did have that exact same setup in fake Vortex, didn't you?
Which I had,
and we've talked about it on the pod. It was unless you put them side by side, it was.
Very difficult.
Very, very difficult to tell the difference.
Yeah. Airsoft is on a budget, and if Ali's presenting it available at a fraction of the cost, is it wrong to go to these places and buy these?
I don't believe so.
No.
End of discussion. Well done, everyone.
Yeah. No, it brings me into. Go on.
Do you know, I always used to think. If I can get it cheaper, I'll get it cheaper, especially when they look so similar and stuff like that. I do now, from a business perspective, understand the damage that certain countries making knockoff versions of stuff can do to a business.
Mm-hmm.
The only caveat to that is obviously the price point and people not being able to afford. Like that setup I had off of you, the UH1, and the Magnifier now, to buy those two brand new, and obviously it's the Gen 2 UH1 now, is over £1,000 for the pair of them. Whereas you can buy Hero 8 versions for 100 quid for the pair.
Yeah.
So,
I find it difficult.
With that, I can't stop coughing. Sorry. Why do these companies, they obviously know this is happening. Again, I know they're not going to be able to stop it because it's you shut one down and number two
open. Yeah.
Now, why do they not just offer for airsofters? Because obviously they can see that's what we're flocking to. Why can't they just make it a cheaper variant?
Because it cheapens the brand. That's
but I do but again, I don't agree with that. You could make something for the airsofter.
100%. I agree with what you're saying.
And they don't have to put half of the stuff they need to put in.
They don't. But
it's. Like accessories, yeah, okay, I get it's going to be a bit harder, obviously, to do that. Even still, I guess it'd still be harder if it's like pouches and things like that. You want the quality of your pouch, you don't want that to let down. So I understand that aspect. for the examples like Cry Precision, Spiritus, Haley, people are going to flock to Ali because it's like 30 quid rather than
300.
Yeah. But for the likes of other things like companies that are making pet boxes or scopes and red dots and stuff like that, why can't they look into making a cheaper variant?
I think a lot.
Not necessarily like you've got a £1,000 UH1 and then dropping it to a £10 UH1, but could there be a middle ground as such to make it affordable for the everyday software?
The trouble is, we're not their market, are we?
No.
You know, with something like Vortex, they're looking at trying to make something survive the recoil shock and the usage of a real 5.56 round. And if you tried to make that at a price point that was much lower, then it's just going to unzero itself all the time.
And it leads to more failures, which then leads to a bad reputation. No business wants a bad reputation.
No, of course.
And I'll be honest, if Vortex was my business, absolutely no way, because knowing how successful the business is, doesn't make business sense to try and cheapen the brand to kill for other people, because we're already doing really well.
I suppose Vortex is probably a bad example, because again, some of their stuff is actually quite affordable, and with their lifetime guarantee,
it's fantastic.
I think maybe Vortex was the wrong choice, but
EOTech.
Could there be a potential, or could they even have, I don't know, the ones that get damaged, maybe a recycling system? This was damaged, it's essentially like a seconds price. They could quick repair or something like that, and then just offer that little bit cheaper to. I know, again, I'm using scopes and red dots and things like that as an example, but that's
the crazy thing is,
where we go and pick it off Ali, isn't it?
Yeah, but the crazy thing is, though, I think there's probably room in the market for, and you do see brands do it. I've got that Recon Optic that is, I think it's pardon me for butchering your brand name, but a Fuck You Hunter. But the eye relief is incredibly good on it, and it functions really, really well for what I need it to do. There are already brands out there. They don't carry the name, but there are some genuinely good options out there for us at those prices. The only reason you go to Ali is because you want something that looks like.
There's the rub, okay?
It looks like a UH1 or a UH2.
That is where the lines become blurred. The thing is, a lot of the people that buy these repro, a lot of the people that buy the repro EOTechs and things like that, they were never in the realms of being a genuine EOTech or Vortex customer, because they just can't afford it. That's why they're buying the repro stuff. Mm-hmm. The problem comes when you've got companies, and AliExpress has kind of killed this a little bit, but you used to get a lot of companies trying to sell fake EOTechs and fake Vortex as the real thing. Mm. That's when there becomes an issue, because people are buying what they think is real when it's not. That is the worst part of it. I don't think it's damaging to the brands for the people that are deliberately going out and buying this because they've only got 100 quid to spend. They want to buy something that looks, it's almost like a flattery thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're just imitating.
Exactly. They're not trying to pass it off as real and trying to damage the brand. Yeah, I think there's a lot more depth to this question than.
Yeah. I mean, there's a sense of proudness from everyone. If you go, oh, look, you've got your EOTech 5.56, and there's a sense of, I've got a Ali. Like, everyone's quite proud and open that they've obviously bought a knockoff. And
that's the other side of the fence, isn't it? Because, when people see me with that Vortex and everything, they're like, is that genuine? I'm like, yep.
Yeah.
Why on earth are you running that on an airsoft gun that's like. Because I can.
Yeah.
Because I am financially irresponsible.
But it's the thing that, like most people that show the builds, they all point things out and where they've got things from. And 9 times out of 10, it's like, oh yeah, I got that. That was like £4 off Ali. This was £6 off Timu and stuff like that.
The crazy thing is, if you had, like, going back to the fake UH1 that went around all of us and all the rest of it as well, that was a really good fake. Scarily good, actually, to some degree. But I would have still bought it if it was, you know, if it was packaged as something else. Because it had the UH1 look. If you could have packaged it with a very similar V as a logo, so that people thought, you know, if you glanced it, it was Vortex, but it was, I don't know, but then you could even brand it as a Portex.
A Portex.
Something like that. You'd still sell it.
That's sell it. Maybe that's what Vortex needs to do.
Captain Vortex, if you're listening to this, we're apologising in advance.
But there is a gap brand in your mind. You need to hit the Vortex.
But Vortex, the line of Vortex for airsoft.
No coins won.
but you would. You'd still buy it, and you'd still get people buy that. Even as a Portex, a big P in the same font and all the rest of it, it would still sell. People want just that
they
visual
want the look.
That visual look of the UH-1 or the UH-2, how it looks, how it sits on the top of the rifle, the silhouette that it gives you.
Yeah.
Same with the Neotech. It's a instantly recognisable silhouette.
So to throw another spanner into the works with this then, mid-range stuff. You both looked through that Vector Optics Forester I've got in the garage, that LPVA.
Mm-hmm.
And you've obviously looked through genuine Vortex stuff and some of the cheaper variants as well.
Yep.
That punches well above its weight and it's right in the middle of the price range. In fact, it's probably not much more expensive than when you buy off Amazon. Off Amazon, they're like 70 quid. And you can get those, not that Forester version with the bronze colour on it, but you can pick some of those up now for like 110 quid. So for that little bit extra money, you get all that clarity and eye relief.
Yep.
But again, it's
slightly hit and miss though, because Vector Optics, I have owned a couple of Vector Optics, one of which, do you remember that Devo that I had, which was the, you had a holographic at the front and then you had that prism that went through a Z shape and comes at the magnifier. Yeah. The eye relief on that was absolutely terrible. But your Vector Optics, like you said, with the Forester finish and all the rest of it, is beautiful.
Yeah.
I think it is hit and miss. It depends what they're trying to replicate or what they're trying to achieve.
I must admit, I have seen Vector's prices creep up year by year as they've become more popular and they've been able to put more money into the products. Mm-hmm. But Vortex started like that. They started off at a lower budget range, and as they become more popular, because actually they were making good kit for reasonable money, that's when the quality started creeping up on their higher end stuff, and that's when their prices went up.
Mm. But then it's not just obviously scopes and everything. So I'd imagine everyone knows that certain store on AliExpress, which is the start of your title.
Yeah.
They do repro rigs. So they'll do the Cry Precision, they'll do the Spiritus, they'll do
you must say Ferro Contra. This, because I've not.
Have you not seen it? So I have got the triple mag pouch, which is a Haley Strategic triple mag copy. And okay, the Haley Strategic, I'd imagine, will be 1100 to 1300 denier. You might have to. Do you want to mute this bit because you want me to type it?
Yeah, I don't think it's.
I don't know why I need to mute typing.
Yeah.
Now I would say, to be honest, when I got mine, I've only just found out as well, because it's a triple pouch, that I've got then a stretchy fabric to insert more mags, so it's not just a triple, it's a six round, you can hold six mags in it. And that fits directly straight onto my, I've got genuine 4-axe Haley Strategic. Whoa. And this is what I mean, we're on this site now on AliExpress, and you can get a full plate carrier setup in the style of Ferro Concepts. Rather than paying Ferro Concept prices, you can get one for $63.99. Now, obviously, you add your tax and everything onto that. Now, again, you're not going to be getting big brand denier. So denier is like the weave in the fabric.
Mm-hmm.
It's the depth of it.
But for airsoft, it's going to be perfect.
It's going to be about $500 to probably, at a push with some of the expensive stuff, $1,000 denier. Which is going to be on par to some of your Viper Tactical and your
that was the one I was going to say.
Yeah, so you're even Combat EK and
Emerson Gear,
that
sort of stuff.
Now, but you're getting copy, albeit the slight different styling, but you can pick up the rig you want for a fraction of the cost.
Mm.
So is it wrong to go to these things? I mean, they are advertising them as the brand, though, but it's under their own brand store name as well.
Yeah.
So they're fully admitting it is a copy
mm-hmm.
of a Ferroconcert, Spiritus, or Haley Studio or Private Vision,
mm-hmm.
but it's then under their store name.
I did not know this store was here.
And I've used them before, and some of the stuff now, and they've cottoned on because some of the pricing has started to increase.
Yeah.
So certain things are now starting to match some of the prices. But it's good. And I've had my triple mag pouch now for 2 years. And touch wood.
It's not like
it's only improved in the last few months because we've just figured out you can add more bloody mags to it.
Yeah.
Again, it's you might have the slight risk factor when it comes to the plastic, so the molding might be a little bit cheaper. But again, what I found with my triple, just going off my experience, the plastic's fantastic. I know it's protected as well, but it doesn't feel cheap. Mm. It feels like it could take a few rounds of BBs. And my triple mag pouch was £45 as opposed to the Haley Strategic at £150.
It's a considerable difference, isn't it?
The next par, which I was comparing to another brand, was the UK Tactical. UK Tactical, I think it was roughly the same price.
Mm.
But I just picked Pew over it, and I've been impressed.
So here's the question: when these patches turn up, are they branded,
are they
selling on this store what they fully admit is a copy?
It wasn't branded,
and not branded when it turns up.
No, it wasn't branded.
See, I think that's slightly different to what we're talking about with the Viper.
How?
Yeah. So it wasn't branded with Haley Strategic.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's advertised under. So you go onto their store, and then you can click Ferroconcepts. You can click Haley Strategic, and everything. It's just all bit slight differences. Like the pull tabs on the quick release to pull your mags out. They were mm-hmm. slightly different. They weren't Haley Strategic branded. They were just thicker plastic ones. But I think that's how they're getting away with it with theirs.
You're sold already.
But again, you can
wow.
You can get things out there, obviously, that they will blur the image out, and you know full well what image is coming when you
yeah.
order that.
Yep.
And yeah, again, sorry. I've done
I
it.
I did see that.
My off-center torch mount for my Mark 18, which is called the Fawn Tail. Again, it's from Haley Strategic. A bit of a theme going on here. It's £55 for a gen, or £7.59, which I think I paid for, plus tax, free shipping from AliExpress, which then came with a logo, which works exactly the same thing. Am I wrong for doing it? I don't. When it's there, like available to me,
yeah,
at cheaper. Again, it's all about keeping costs down as an airsofter.
Mm.
It looks the part. It smells the part. Am I wrong for doing it?
For me, and it goes back to Brett's original statement about how it affects the business and the brand and all the rest of it. If it's not actually fully labelled up as and pretending to be a genuine item.
Oh, yeah, I have no issue with that then.
Yeah.
Mm. At all.
Yeah, you know? I get it.
If it's a very good copy and it gives you that, again, it goes back to airsofters wanting that silhouette. Well, even with your rigs and stuff like that, you want that. It's not going to be a silhouette, but that same vibe, that feel, that look, that style. But it's not actually branding itself as the original item.
No. I get what you mean. It's like it's going to the Tunisian market and buying a Rolex.
Where do you draw the line with the Noveski? It's clearly an MWS clone. It's clearly an MWS by any other name.
Yeah, but then. MWS is modular weapons system, isn't it? So it's just its own thing. Obviously, the Zet system.
You know exactly what I'm referring to and how it's pieced together. But it's you know, where do we draw the line with that?
But then it's not branded as a Zet system.
Exactly.
It's a Zet light system.
These are Haley-like rigs.
Yeah, exactly. I suppose because of that store's doing it, but they obviously they're advertising. They've got full blown. Like you go in and it will say Ferret Concepts. Click here. You click it, and it will say. But not when what I've received. I don't know if it's different for the other branded stuff from that store. There was nothing remotely mentioning the branding whatsoever. However, the other equipment was. It's like buying a torch, isn't it? And you either get it with Wasden logo or Surefire. From AliExpress, or you can buy it blank. Mm-hmm. So, to appease your guilt, you would buy it blank, is what you're saying. Or would you? Or would you, because it's 50p more, add that Surefire logo?
Add the Surefire logo. Okay. You'd want it to say, not Surefire.
Yeah, no, not so sure.
Not so Surefire.
And the thing is, because
poor
it's...
Fire.
Oh,
we've got a whole new
I'm
brand.
I'm going to have to get some Blank Repro stuff and just get it all laser engraved for these things.
Strategically poor.
Yeah.
But again, it's because,
poorly strategic.
Because, I mean, Ali have cracked down quite a lot.
We've trademarked in this, don't even think about
it. By the time you've heard this...
Yeah, I won't edit this one for several weeks while we trademark.
Again, they've cracked down. I mean, some of the stuff is quite hard
actually,
to get hold of.
We're going
to
make t-shirts.
Yeah. S off and poor.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. It works on so many levels. Because this sport does make you poor.
It does. Saying that, though, shout out to Nick, who told me over the years, Nick Rogers, how much he spent, and by gosh, that's a lot. I didn't even want to work out mine after what he said.
Yeah, does it pale in comparison to my previous Arsenal? Well,
I don't know. I think you'd win by a quarter mile, 100%. And I mean, Nick's was high. I'm not going to disclose what Nick said, but Nick's was high, and I was like, geez. But yeah, you.
Let's not go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah,
I'm comfortably five figures. Comfortably. Yeah,
maybe you need to start shopping on AliExpress.
I like the airsoft and poor. I will do that.
Airsoft and poor decisions.
Poor financial decisions. If you take into account my real steel stuff as well, I am well
into
five figures.
Wow, you could be called poor paladin.
considering one of my shotguns that I previously had was $12,000 for one gun.
Dear God.
But we're not counting real steel.
This
is why we're shopping at AliExpress.
Even your airsoft.
Even my airsoft collection, I'm probably knocking on five figures now.
Well, at one point you're Wolverine. Oh, with the optics on it and all the accessories, you were two and a half.
Well, yeah. I mean, we went to Badlands one day, and I had the MTW there with all the Vortex gear on it, and I had my rig and my carbon bottle and all my PTS mags and all my the regulator, the line, my gloves, and we sat down and worked it out, and there was just shy of $4,000 sat on the table.
God, you're hard.
Well, no, mate. Just poor financial decisions.
And this is why we're shopping at AliExpress. Because we're putting too much money into good guns. And we're like, I can't afford anything gen now.
But, I mean, what I've spent on airsoft is nothing compared to... I mean, Jake's Nod setup.
Oh, yeah. True.
You know, there are some guys out there that have multiple pairs of Cry trousers and then shirts. And
they're not shopping at Ali.
They're not shopping at Ali, but they are spending big money.
You ever seen any of the videos where Negative Airsoft just happens to walk around his loft?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The most expensive clothing I've got, if we're going to go down that road, is my Nor Arm U-Bats, which is my three-stripe OD green.
They were expensive, weren't they?
Yeah, it was. I think it was like 160.
Yeah,
and then didn't realise I'd have to pay import on that as well.
No.
So it worked at about £220.
Wow!
I was like, oh well, I suppose I better pay this from DHL. I bust it out every so often, but I'm like, and then it's just a U-back. It come in a really nice box. Don't get me wrong, Norarm Tactical, they're doing wonders out there. They're going all across Ukraine and stuff like that. It's a really nice brand. But it's just a U-back. I've come to terms with it now. It's been 2 years, but it's literally just a U-back with ripstop arms.
Yeah, it looks cool though.
It does look cool as shit, but BB and Jar. But
you did it before I did today.
I don't know. I done one earlier.
Oh yes.
But yeah,
I nearly dropped the F bomb earlier on.
You did.
And
yeah.
I was like, find another
a
word.
A finger of fudge is just
yeah.
enough.
Yeah. Find another word.
But if I could go, well, I'd definitely still do it because it's cool. No one else has got one.
No, it's cool.
Because no idiot wants to go out there and spend £220 on a U-bag.
What we do need to do though, guys, we need to see you running your AK with that now.
Yeah, it's on the cards.
Yeah.
It's on the cards and my jean shorts.
And we need to get Sai into an AK.
Yeah.
Although I think he's all but sold on that now. After seeing the pictures.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Sorry, I'm digressing.
Yeah, so basically, don't feel guilty if you shop at AliExpress, because if you add up the total of all your costings that you've ever spent on Airsoft, I think you could probably get away with buying that fake EOTech.
Yeah.
It's not going to stop. It's not going to stop there, and this is...
Just don't do it for the wrong reasons. Don't try and pass it off as something it's not.
No, and again...
Own the fact that you are buying a fake.
But again, I've always found, in Airsoft, since I've been doing it, and people have shown me their builds and things like that, there's a sense of pride, as I've said, where they go, got that off Ali. Yeah. Like, and it is wrong, because you're buying something branded, and you're bragging that you have bought it off Ali, but again, at the same time, I think it's the sense of I've saved money. I've made it look cool. It looks the part, and I've got £60 in my back pocket. So, but then on the other thing, people are quite proud that they buy the non-branded stuff off Ali, like my rail.
Yeah.
Which I was saying, oh, I've got off Ali for £40.
My rail now.
Well, yeah, your rail. I don't think it's gonna. It's bad because obviously there's copies out there putting brands on.
Yeah, I think for me that's where the line gets crossed, isn't it?
Yeah.
When like you said, it tarnishes the brand if it's poor. But
yeah,
I mean, where that's blurred slightly is, you know, I know we keep mentioning it, but that UH1 was so good, and the eye relief on it wasn't that bad, and it was actually functioned really well.
The reticle looks far cleaner than the Vortex. Well, obviously, I know it was an entirely different system internally.
Yeah.
That's why.
Mm.
But yeah, it looked nicer to look through it.
Mm.
You say that. I had a go on yours on university the
you
other
did,
day.
Yeah.
And then looking
the
it through the magnifier, it's crisp.
It's so clear.
It's, yeah. It's a tough one because I get it, we're all in a situation where we want to save money, but maybe if you're going to go down this route and you want that silhouette-looking piece of equipment, try and save, click in the branded bit on that checkout on Ali and try and get that blank one. So it's not tarnishing the brand.
Yeah.
If there's that option out there to get an EOTech with no brand, a torch with no Surefire.
Watch out for our new brand of Portec.
We're gonna touch that gap in the market. And we're gonna offer you guys
some laser engraved outerwear for Portec optics.
Yeah,
Portec, Porfire. I like that.
We haven't really come to a conclusion, really, because I'm still going to go to AliExpress and probably still
buy. No, that is the conclusion. I think for me that if you can get something like we talked about with the Haley Strategic Rigs, yes, they've segregated them in the store. I would look at that and say they've segregated them in the store because they know you're going to be looking for a specific style. So if you like the Haley style, this is their range here if you want to copy that. But we're not putting Haley on them.
I suppose is the one other thing we haven't actually brought up, and that is the paying conditions of the people making that knockoff stuff compared to
it's all everything production run in China anyway, isn't it?
But we're
not going to know.
No, and
even
that,
on the branded stuff.
I suppose that's kind of the dark, ugly uncle in the background, isn't it? That you think, I don't really want to think about that because that could be some child earning 50p a day. In working 12, 14 hours to make this stuff in awful conditions, And I don't think that's probably happening. I doubt very much that's happening for the repro sites and stuff like that, but maybe for the rigs and things.
Yeah, maybe for the rigs.
Even still, like, I'm just going off by the quality that's come through. Like, it's I mean, it's on par to probably Warrior stuff and things like that. Like, some of the stuff I've got from Ali from that store, and that, like, the fabric's been good. It's been neat. It doesn't look tatty. It comes in a nice presented bag.
Do you think sort of, because it's classed still as piracy, isn't it? That's because it's the same as like watching hooky DVD, buying hooky DVD.
Steal a car.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. There was always that big stigma that the money from that, a lot of the time, goes to criminals and enterprises and trafficking and stuff like that. Do you think that is probably not so much now, especially with things like you're buying off AliExpress, or do you think there's still an element of that?
I don't know, because, again, you could say that about any company, really. You then have to go, how is your light stuff ethically made?
Yeah,
it's the same thing. What I found so with work is when it's not an IWAJ now. When we were speaking to some of the Asian retailers, a lot of them would have the same bag across the stands. So they've all got this matching blueprint. They all have a factory that will make the same bag. It's then where you go to the quality of the bag. So say there's five stands and they've all got the same backpack.
But the stitching is different on all of them, like.
The plastic will be different on the buckles. The denier of the fabric weave will be different. Okay. And that's where it stems from. So you're not going to stop copying. It's just then quality control.
Yeah. So realistically, what we're saying off the back of that is, if you're going to do it, you need to be buying the best quality ones possible, because clearly they're putting more time and money into making them.
Effectively,
so the risk of it being made in a sweatshop is probably lower.
Yeah, and
then if it has a Nike badge on it.
Yeah.
Well,
it's a tough one, because, again, you don't really want to be going out and buying copies, because, again, it's going to, as you say, tarnish brands. But it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because we're not going to stop people going to AliExpress to buying these copies
and
items.
Look, there's a danger here that we are just saying that all of this stuff comes from AliExpress. You can pick this up anywhere. You know,
it's true.
That you can go to Amazon and find reproduction optics and eBay and all the rest of it. And
there's companies out there that will do the Wasden pistol torches.
Yeah.
So there is retailers out there that will do it. So it's no obviously different getting that pistol torch from said retailer who's getting it from said Asian manufacturer. It's just be careful how you shop, really, isn't it? If you can go direct to that company, it'll be better to go direct to the company you've got. You guarantee you're keeping that company alive a bit more, and you're doing, I don't know, a world service of buying genuine. But I suppose if you can't, non-branded.
Oh,
I don't really know where I was going with that.
It's a great point. Yeah. Well made.
It's a tough one, because
I get your point about the ethics of it and where it comes from, how it's manufactured, who we're supporting at the end of the day.
But then it's again.
But you never really know, do you? And I think that's.
It's like we spoke to a manufacturer who most of these manufacturers do their own plate carriers and quick release buckles and stuff like that. And we spoke to one of them who manufactures bags for Browning.
Yeah.
So we spoke to this little company, and they're like, oh yeah, we do this type of bag and this. And they were quite reputable, and they were amongst other brands they'd done. There was only like six or seven brands, and they're like, and we also make our own plate carriers.
Mm-hmm.
But what we can do with your plate carriers, put your own brand on it. So you could go out there and really make your own brand as such.
Fully strategic.
Yeah, exactly. So in an ethical sense, and you wanted to get that style, and you didn't want to feel guilty, start your own brand, make millions of them, then you'll get the one you want.
I mean, if you really wanted to delve into the ethics of it, even if it was produced right here in the UK,
okay, copy.
The you know, if it was a workshop here in the UK, the likelihood is maybe they're running on minimum wage, which is not enough to live on in this economy anyway.
Yeah, so, I suppose it's all relative.
You know, it's relative to where you are, where you come from, and all the rest of it. I get what you're saying about sweatshops and children, child labour, and all the rest of it. But
oh, I don't care.
Great.
Kai's sending his children over for work experience. Isn't exactly.
Yeah. Papa needs a new Forex belt.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, you can get bogged down in a lot of decisions like that, can't you?
Yeah.
I won't judge someone if they shop there, because, again, I've done it. I'm still going to do it. I get exactly what you're saying, Brett. It's just, it takes that one person to say this is genuine, to sell it on, for it to be caught out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's that unethical line about it, but just be open and honest from what I've seen of people and just say, yeah, it's not genuine. I've got it from such and such. Well,
going back to the Vortex thing, you know, when I actually posted a picture of the two optics side by side on my Instagram, and I was very open about one is real, one is fake.
Yeah.
Vortex UK contacted me and was like, where did that come from? And they wanted links to where I bought it from and all the rest of it. They were trying to track it down, where it originally came from. So,
and that's the tough thing, isn't it?
Because like you say, I think it degrades the brand, doesn't it?
Yeah. But the things with like Timu Ali and stuff like that, there's so many hundreds of little retailers that are posting on there.
Mm.
And then, oh, for example, those level 3 plates I bought, all of them been taken down now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's an alley probably blocking the sale of them. But with the likes of these non-branded items, which are branded, you just knock one shop off, the next shop's just going to have exactly the same thing.
Because they're all being made by one company. They're all made in the same place, and then there are multiple sellers who are then tasked with selling those. So if one gets shut down, the rest of them carry on, and somebody new starts. Well,
that's the thing. That's, like I said, like looking at like these little Asian sort of upsellers and things like that, and they've all got the same bag, but each one had a slight different location of packaging. Yeah. Again, it's a lot of this stuff that gets made is the same blueprint of that product. So again, there must be something along the lines of, all right, we've created a new product, but for that area in the Chinese market, then they probably go, right, but we'll sell it to 6 other factories down the road. So then I don't know how in-house you can control something.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. I don't know how well you can do that to stop this from happening. I don't think you will ever stop it. But if you, again, it just stems back, if you can go branded, then try and get branded. If you can't,
buy it off Ali. I think that's I think we've run our course with that now, because basically, I think we've come to that conclusion a couple of times. And
it's a very contradictive.
Yeah.
Because you're about to buy something on Ali, you can tell.
I'm not buying anything branded on there. I am buying some bits on there, though. I've got.
You were quite taken by those mounts, weren't you? I could see.
It wasn't the actual mount. Mess. It was the adapter for the top of the mount there. And then you can put an RMR sight on, so you can have the LPVO and then have the RMR. Because I've got a Vector RMR on there, so I'm like, well, I could just do that.
Mm.
So it's all matchy matchy then.
Yeah.
Cool. Stuff on. Right. Without hopping back on the merry-go-round again.
It's
a difficult one, isn't it?
We've sold ourselves on that one. Yeah. It's
Or have we fake sold ourselves on that one?
What was the other thing we were going to talk about?
The G&G.
Oh, yeah. Gas box. Yeah. I just hope it's better than their previous one.
I know nothing about this.
They did it once before. It wasn't a proper gas blowback. The system was shocking. It didn't work very well.
So just for the listener, just to bring them up to speed, this is
lovely segue from Brett there.
This is the idea that IWA, they touched upon, they almost glossed over it in that video, didn't they?
They didn't really talk much about it, and nobody else has picked up on it, has asked
about it, no. But it's the idea that they are producing. So it's I suppose a fire control unit and everything else, and it's got to be.
It is a replacement gearbox.
Yes, so it's all going to be in-house. For any version 2...
Any version 2 gearbox. AMG gun, you can pull out the AEG gearbox and replace it with what they are calling a gas blowback gearbox.
Mm.
And you buy the appropriate mags for it, and it fits straight into your gun. So your ARP9s, your combat machines, your Predators, all this kind of... But they did something similar before. I can't remember how long ago it was. And it just... It wasn't very good. It wasn't true gas blowback, because all you had was a small weight going inside the gearbox, and it didn't really feel like a gas blowback.
Yeah.
It was a novelty more than anything that was any good.
Usable.
Hmm. And I fear they can't really have done much to it unless they've just improved upon the design. But it's still not going to be a true gas blowback.
Well, that was it. So that's one thing I picked up on the video. He was very careful, almost pointed, not to use the word blowback. He said it would just turn it into a gas gun. He didn't actually pointedly use the word gas blowback system. It was just, this will turn your AEG into a gas gun.
Well, it's just pointless. It's just stupid. Don't do it.
If it ever lived up to what we hope it would become, I don't see how engineering-wise it can, because how do you suddenly use the buffer tube? It doesn't seem to stack up for me, but if by some miracle of engineering they actually turned it into a full gas blowback system, imagine the builds that suddenly you could turn any rare AEG setup into a gas blowback.
The only way I could see it working is G&G have never had QD gearboxes, really. They've always, for the spring change. I think there's a few of them out there, but a lot of it, even your lower end stuff, it's always, you've got to take the gearbox apart to get the spring out.
Mm-hmm.
If this replacement gearbox has a, similar to a QD rear end, and when you buy the gearbox, you get something to put into the buffer tube, which connects, once the gearbox is in the gun, you then connect this in through the QD point on there, and then put your buffer tube back over it, and away you go. But the problem is, a lot of those buffer tubes are held onto the gun via a screw inside them. So I just don't see how it would work. Unless they're going to provide you with a complete new buffer tube as well. We're speculating a lot here.
No,
I want to see it. But considering how shady they've been over it, I'm not sure... Because it was just a prototype, wasn't it?
I was going to say.
It was just a prototype. So.
Well, the interesting. So, you look at the Leave-R.
Yep.
That obviously can't use anything because it's.
They said that, mind you, they said the Leave-R was.
AEG mags.
Yeah, they said, this is going to be a prototype.
Where are you filling up the gas? If you're using AEG mags in the Levi, you must be filling up the gas in the back of that stock.
It is in the back of the stock, yeah.
So, I don't know. But you're saying they're going to make it you use proprietary mags for this gas system, potentially?
It's bound to be, isn't it? Because there's no other brand that they could use.
Mm.
I wait with bated breath to see it.
The fact that it was quite a glossed over video and it's a prototype,
I
think this is a lot of development.
I don't. They
would be.
They didn't raving. Show a lot of confidence in it, did
no.
they?
No.
Well, the fact that they bought it to IWA, though, and it didn't feature, it was glossed over very, very quickly, and he was like, I have no specs on this. This is the concept. This is the idea. Yeah. It will turn
your AEG very much
into
like
a gas gun.
It's not ready to be released yet.
Like a crazy idea.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a feedback tool.
It was more of a, we've got a space on the rack, what can we put in it? I'll just take that gas blowback.
They've probably got so many people going in, and they're probably just pointing to like an idea, like a little brainstorming. This is the concept. We want to develop it. Have you got ideas from all around and see what they can come up with.
I don't think it really mattered what they took with them. The problem was they had that lever there and they had that shotgun, and those two really stole the show for G&G. I mean, the lever
even,
action.
Even the folding
AR
guns
was,
didn't.
Yeah.
They had them.
What were they called again? Pals? No.
No, they've done them in two new colours this year.
Purple and pink, yeah. And like a sky blue.
Sky blue and white.
Pearl.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
We shall see.
But again, in the same video, I heard that was a monstrosity because they actually put one of the uppers from that on the Levar just to prove it would work. I saw this. Don't even toy with us.
Don't try it.
We'll find out in August how good they are.
Yes. Mm. Yes. Can't wait.
I'm going to have to make sure I've got the cowboy hat and boots ready for that.
Do you think you'll change over the upper? And the rail system?
I don't know.
Thingy, or you just leave it?
Might put Mark 18 there on.
You've got one now.
It's done, yeah. I'll spray it black. Mm. Blick. I don't know. It piqued my interest when you showed it to me, because I was like, how did we miss that? But I'm not filled with confidence.
It seems like there's going to be a lot of errors.
Well, from my standpoint, like I say, it's either a miracle of engineering or it's not going to be a gas blowback.
Yeah,
the fact that he used the word it would turn it into a gas gun as opposed to a gas blowback.
Maybe that's it. Maybe it's not going to be a blowback gun. It's just going to be a green gas non-recoiling. Maybe that's it. Maybe we've read too much into it and it's not going to be a gas blowback. It is literally just going to be release a bit of gas.
Mm. Which would be hugely disappointing. And somewhat
I'm not sold on it.
Other than being a bit more robust in the rain, maybe.
Come on, G&G, let us know.
I'm not sold on the idea, even if it's...
So what was the old monstrosity? Did that attempt to recoil?
Yeah, it just didn't work. The few people that I spoke to about it were like, it just never really worked. It wasn't consistent. It was just rubbish.
Mm. It's a lot to pack into the space of just a gearbox, that's my
opinion. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's that then.
Yeah.
I think it's been another exciting episode.
Yeah.
I think we've done all right.
Yeah, we've done well.
Hopefully these new mics have done the trick.
I think they have. Write in, listeners. Tell us if you heard everything.
The PO box.
Yeah. If you could hear that bird that has consistently sung through the entirety of the episode, please let us know.
I hope it's been very calming for you.
It's been more consistent than a G&G gearbox.
This is one of the reasons why I like living here, you know. You sit here with the window open at night and all you hear is little birds singing and nearly being eaten.
Thank you very much for joining us again.
On another episode of Poor Choices and Chill.
Povesky.
Povesky.
Yeah. Poor man's Povesky.
Yes.
That's what they call them on the NWS chats. Poveskys.
Bumbers.